Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode, we discuss how Joe Namath signs up for early retirement and legends like Jimmy Johnson, Daryl Jenkins, Walter Kopisch, Reuben Mays, and Bobby Mitchell are remembered on their birthdays, and it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the dunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And we have some great news and great history of the gridiron for June 6th in this episode. And it's really kind of an entertaining day because there's just some things that are just sort of, if you look back at them now, you're like, wow, that was crazy. And some players that were crazy good too. So it's just a crazy day here. And we're going to start off with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. And it comes from the New York Daily News on June 7th, 1969. And it posted, Joe's sense of loyalty will bring him back. Joe Namath quits football and clashed with Roselle over saloon ownership. Of course, they're talking about a June 6, 1969 incident where quarterback Joe Namath resigned from football after NFL Commissioner Pete Roselle tells Namath that he must sell his share of a stake of a bar ownership. This occurred 5 months after Broadway Joe was awarded with Super Bowl III's MVP trophy. Roselle referenced media reports that the bar was frequented by mafia associates and was not in the best interests of the NFL. Namath quitting stunned everybody, including the commish. Late June and early July meetings between NFL executives and Namath proved fruitful as eventually Namath sold his stake and played with the Jets once again in the 1969 season. Wow, that's quite a shocker in the world. If you'd had like the star player of the NFL right now quit at the height and, because he had to sell ownership in a bar and get in a fight with the commissioner. That's just crazy. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did today through the New York Daily News, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798 to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll be also helping to support the production of this and other great Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers for your free 1 week today. And, you know, that day of 1969, I just can't get over that. Joe Namath, you know, the top of his game, making the promise in the Super Bowl III, coming through. You know, he's in every commercial there can be, you know, from shaving cream to pantyhose. And, you know, he all of a sudden gets in a squabble with the NFL commissioner and just quits. That's amazing. But he had all the pull and the NFL had to come on bended knee to get him back, I'm sure. Let's get to some birthdays of some great Hall of Famers for this June 6th. And we're going to start off in 1879. And Jimmy Johnson, not the one you're thinking of, but the one that was a quarterback for the Carlisle Indian Industrial School from 1899 to 1903, as well as Northwestern University's Dental School in 1904 and 1905. At Carlisle, he played under the teachings of legendary Pop Warner and was named All-American by Walter Camp per the footballfoundation.org. Camp based his selection on a remarkable game he witnessed when Carlisle played Harvard. After Carlisle, he studied at dentistry at Northwestern and helped turn the football program there around in his two seasons played. In 1904, he scored a touchdown and helped beat Illinois 12-6 in the last game played at Shepherd Field. In 1905, he helped dedicate a new field seating 13,000 on Central Street in Evanston, Illinois, as Northwestern beat Beloit 18-2. Johnson scored a touchdown and ran for 200 yards in that game. Mr. Johnson was selected to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1969. And after school was completed, Johnson returned to Carlisle to help coach the players as an assistant in 1906, one season before a kid named Thorpe showed up to play on the gridiron for the Institute. Now, before we continue, you know, do you like great football movies like I do? I mean, there's been some really iconic movies out there, you know, like Rudy and Brian Song and, you know, Remember the Titans, and had some great actors in them, some great storylines, but all centered around the game of football. I mean, there's just a plethora of them, you know, but we have one that we want to tell you about, and it's now on digital. It stars Milo Gibson and Lawrence Fishburne as they star in Under the Stadium Lights. It's an inspirational true story of a small-town high school football team who fought to beat the odds and turn their lives around and win the state championship. Score your copy of Under the Stadium Lights by buying or renting it today. It's rated PG-13, and it's from Paramount Pictures. Definitely sounds like something that us football fans want to watch during this offseason, watch a movie about football, and it's a new one, so make sure we check that out. Let's get back to our birthdays of Hall of Famers. On June 6, 1901, Walter Kopisch was a halfback out of the Columbia University, and he earned his way into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1981 selection class. He played professionally for the Buffalo Bisons and the New York Giants in the NFL. At the age of just 23 years old, he was named the head coach of the Bisons, making him one of the youngest NFL head coaches in the history of pro football. The National Football Foundation's website bio lists Kopisch as he stunned the rival defense of New York University in 1924 with an electrifying touchdown runs of 76 yards, 67, and 55 yards all in one quarter as Columbia romped to a 40-0 victory. Kopisch's performance prompted the Columbia Lions coach Percy Haughton to proclaim, "He's the best back I've ever coached." But Kopisch was also an all-around talent. He was also a bone-crushing blocker on offense and a beast of a defensive player as he gained all American recognition in both his junior and his senior seasons. And I can see why. With you have three long touchdown runs in one quarter, that makes you pretty exciting, that's for sure. June 6, 1919, Darryl Jenkins. He's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame for his successes at the center position for the University of Missouri from 1939 through the 1941 season. Mr. Jenkins did not play much his first couple seasons with the Tigers, but when given the opportunity in his junior season, he excelled, earning all Big Six honors as well as becoming a consensus All-American in his senior season per the NFF. After college, he served his country in World War II as a bomber pilot, and during his 27th flying mission, he was shot down and captured, serving 17 months at a Nazi POW camp. Mr. Jenkins survived the ordeal, and upon returning home, he became a successful attorney for the Missouri State Highway Commission. June 6, 1935. Bobby Mitchell. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinee who played as the NFL flanker, halfback, and wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns and the Washington Redskins. He's a four-time Pro Bowl selection as a pro, and he played his college ball at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And when Mitchell left the Browns for the Redskins in 1962, he became the first African-American player to ever wear a Washington jersey, making the organization the last franchise in the NFL to break the color barrier. June 6, 1963, North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada. Reuben Mays, the fantastic Washington State running back from 1982 to 1985, was born. The footballfoundation.org shares that Mays rewrote darn near every Cougar rushing record during his career. Reuben goes down as one of the greatest running backs in Pac-10 history. By career's end, the 1984 consensus first-team All-American set 15 school records, including single-season yardage of 1,632 and career rushing yards of 3,519 rushing yards at 23 touchdowns, a rushing average of 5.53 yards per carry, and 100-yard games with 13 of them. Additionally, he established an NCAA Division I single-game record with a 357-yard rushing performance against Oregon in 1984. Reuben Mays was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008 after the National Football Foundation tabulated up their votes. Now, we have some other VIPs in the game of football. They're not yet in the Hall of Fame. Not sure if they'll get in. We're not, but they are substantial players. We want to mention them. You know, June 6, 1870, James Parrish Lee. He was a Harvard University All-American in 1889. In 1890, he helped to lead the Harvard squad to a perfect 11-0 season as he sealed the deal by scoring what the New York Times described as a brilliant run in defeating rival Yale for the first time in years. In 1889, on June 6, William Anderson Alexander, he was an American football player and coach and is enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame. Alexander was a head coach at Georgia Institute of Technology from 1920 to 1944, and his squad was crowned as a national champions with a 1929 Rose Bowl win over the University of California by a narrow score of 8-7. Doesn't get much closer than that, does it? You know, so that's just another day of some great football history. We are sure glad you joined us once again, and we're hoping you're getting some knowledge out of this and filling up that football brain so you can go to the water cooler and impress your buddies at work, or if you're sitting around tailgating before the game, bring up this June 6th topic. Says, hey, remember back on June 6th? Well, I can remember this happened, and William Anderson Alexander was born this day. just have all that knowledge of the great past and preserving our history of the game we love so much here in America, and across the world now, it's spreading like crazy. And we're glad we could share it with you. And we try to cover not only the NFL, not only college, but we try to cover the high school ranks. And, we're going to try to do more of that. And some of the other leagues, the professional leagues, the CFL, the XFL, the USFL, XFL, if it comes back, we want to see these leagues, the World Football League, all the AFLs, the AAFC, all these great leagues. We want to make sure that we pay tribute to for these great gridiron stars that have played the game that we enjoy so much. And, just get out there. COVID is darn near over. We're hoping you can all get to a game this year and go and support your local high schools and your local colleges and your local pro teams and semi-pro teams. Go and watch these games that you love, because we really missed out a lot seeing live football last year. And we don't ever want that to happen again. Let's cherish every moment of it as these players cherish their playing days and give them that gridiron glory. So check us out on pigskindispatch.com /podcast. You'll see all of our podcasts there. You can also see all of my friends over at the sportshistorynetwork.com. Some great podcasts on sporting events of yesteryear and great players and themes and just some great discussion of great sports history. That's why it's called Sports History Network, huh? So make sure you check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.